And we're back on Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app. Tap that app. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, ringside at the Cotton Bowl as
yes,
we get ready for the Bridgestone Winter Classic, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic, all brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Sudden Service, and Firestone. We'll hear from Austin Watson, my conversation with him in just a second, but setting the scene as the band is warming up. They've been doing that off and on. We've heard that awful Dallas Stars song probably five times already this morning that will be their intro song. I've heard Jason Aldean's Crazy Town.
Oh, we've heard
five
that.
Times.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, they got to get ready.
They got to
run through everything on the entrances. So.
Last night, I think they were here deep into the night,
maybe
until 11 or 12 o'clock, rehearsing everything.
They did the pyro test.
Yep, they did all that. They had all the horses that are going to be featured.
They did not like the pyro test.
They did not. It took a while to test that one because of the horses kind of freaking out a little bit. But
yeah.
There's a pig race on one side. There are jumbo boots on another side. I said this, I believe, last night with Jeremy Gover. You know, the Winter Classic is always a celebration of hockey and kind of the roots of hockey, of being outdoors and all these players, most of the players growing up playing on a pond, and now they get to do it as their NHL players. But really, this has the feel of a celebration of Southern hockey.
Yeah.
And the fact that now the NHL has branched the Winter Classic into this market here in Dallas, featuring two non-traditional markets like the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars, and not going with the cookie cutter Bruins or Blackhawks or Red Wings or Penguins or Flyers or what have you. You know, this is going to be a new feel for the NHL, and I think this could potentially give this event, this Winter Classic event, some life.
Yeah,
because
you got to keep it fresh. You got to change it up.
Yeah, and you know, we've also seen the Capitals featured in it because of Alex Ovechkin, the Buffalo Sabres, but it's kind of felt like a rotation of different matchups.
Yeah.
You know, the Blackhawks and the Bruins, great to put them at Notre Dame Stadium, but, you know, outside of them meeting in the Stanley Cup Final back in, I believe it was 2013, there's not a whole lot of history there, especially with those players, whereas you have two new teams. One team that has kind of been the darling of the NHL here in the last few years in the Nashville Predators going up against a good Dallas Stars team that has a lot of history in the NHL here in the last 20 to 30 years. And as we have said on the road to Dallas leading up to this event, they're budding rivals, these two teams, the Preds and the Stars. And you're farther along than I am in terms of the rivalry between these two teams. But, I mean, this is potentially the next chapter in what could be a really good rivalry between these two divisional teams. The first chapter, I think, you know, the playoff series back in April, and God knows how many times they're going to show that Klingberg double overtime goal on the broadcast today on NBC. But, yeah, I mean, Preds and Stars, I think it's going to add some life into it. The Cotton Bowl. This is going to be the second largest attended NHL game in history.
Yeah.
Upwards of 80,000, close to 90,000 fans in this stadium. A lot of bleach. I mean, there aren't a lot of chairback seats in this place. I mean, it is a college football stadium with a whole lot of bleachers. But in about 2.5 hours, it's going to be filled with green and gold and a little bit of white, and it is going to look fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. And look, I think there'll be a lot of white because of that Winter Classic jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have gotten that one.
I noticed a big difference, and I wanted to kind of do an eye test.
Yeah.
Monday night against Arizona.
Yeah.
Versus Friday night against Pittsburgh, I noticed a whole lot more Winter Classic jerseys.
Santa brought some.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. There are a lot of Christmas gifts, I would assume, with Winter Classic jerseys, because there was a stark difference, I thought, between the Monday game and the Friday game, between Winter Classic jerseys. So,
As we look across to the Predators bench, Pete Rogers and Craig Partner Baugh and their staff getting things ready. Good to see Partner.
Yes.
I'm excited for Partner.
That's awesome that they brought Partner along.
Yeah, and so I guess We are next to the Predators penalty box.
I would assume
if it's right across from the bench,
we're seeing Predators Gatorade towels draped over the bench,
yep,
and Stars Gatorade towels draped over the other bench. I would assume this is the Predator. Hopefully, there are no Predators going into that penalty box.
I hope
box
I don't
today.
Have to break up a fight anytime. You know?
Well,
I got checked yesterday.
You always have to be prepared.
Head on a swivel. Yesterday after practice, though, I had a chance to go into the locker room and catch up with Preds forward Austin Watson about the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic.
Chase McCabe here in the Predators locker room with forward Austin Watson. And you guys got to hit the ice for the first time, this outdoor rink. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was neat. Obviously it's different than, playing at Bridgestone or any other arena. So it was just nice to get out there, and I haven't played in an outdoor game before, so kind of to see what it's like. The lighting's a little different. Terry's a veteran. He's seen it all, so he didn't really care. It was neat. It'll be interesting to get out there for warm-ups, but it was nice to get on the ice.
So we got to do our show ringside, which was a pretty cool perspective, and you guys had the family skate. To have your daughter be able to skate around with her, how special is that?
That's what's, obviously the game's cool, but, stuff like that, being able to, experience the whole thing with your family, have them come on the ice, and, really just make a whole, it's an event, and it's awesome for them to be a part of. Obviously, it's a business trip, and we'll get right to that. But at the same time, it's so good for them to be able to enjoy it with us.
Is that what's nice about having today, that you can take it in, you can enjoy this, and then tomorrow, as you said, you go to work and try and get those 2 points?
Yeah, I think so. I think being able to do the family skate here now, and then kind of wake up in the morning and have that page turned and really get to get focused on the task at hand. Obviously, it's a really huge game for us, a division opponent, team that's ahead of us in the standings, and coming out of the break, we haven't had the results that we wanted, so it's a big one for us.
Do you guys look at Dallas as, I know they're a Central Division opponent, but do you look at them as a rival, like you would have with a Chicago or some teams that there's some history, you have the playoffs, but then also this?
Yeah, I mean, yes, with the playoffs, and having played them a few times over the last few years, just being a division opponent, yeah, that's I definitely would say it's a bit of a rivalry, and especially when you have that playoff series. You put a playoff series in there, and then you have an event like the Winter Classic. It brews some bad blood, and it's always good for really good hockey and really entertaining games.
Austin, I appreciate the time. Have fun.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Predators forward yesterday. And look, it was cool because he skated by us a few times with his young daughter, and she had her little skates on. I don't think she was really doing too much of the work, but definitely cool. But you heard him say it, Ryan, and we started the show talking about this, that they recognize that now they got to go to work. Today is a Central Division game. There are 2 points on the line, so they want to try and walk away with those 2 points here in Dallas. And so I think the way the schedule falls for them to be able to have their time and take it all in last night, yesterday afternoon, and then get to the rink, which I would assume they're already here, going through their pregame routines and meetings and things like that before they'll come out for warm-ups here in a couple hours. I mean, it's a work trip now. I think
for
that's
sure.
Just how they have to look at it.
Yeah, and you can't get caught up in the environment, you can't get caught up in kind of the cool factor, like we are, yep, getting caught up in it. The cool factor of this event and this game, all of that was for yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, yesterday, we've referenced it multiple times where it looked like the players were very loose on the ice. They were really soaking up and looking around and taking it all in with the stadium. And maybe there will be a little bit of that. Once they get on the bench and they look around and they kind of see the clashing green and gold and white and all that, but really, this is like we've been saying, this is a big game for this team to try to right the ship or start to right the ship in this season, and there's no better time to do it but now against a team like you heard Austin Watson say it. I mean, they consider this team a rival. Especially with the playoff series last year, and now this event, to possibly get a victory against this team on this stage, it could potentially push this team over the top. But we also heard Mike Rupp say it last segment where you can't, if you win this game, you can't have the mentality of you just won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Like, you can't have that feeling, you know.
I think in the post game they have to look at it as we just won a Central Division game. I know that's hard
to
say.
Whichever team wins the Winter Classic, there's a lot more celebration on the ice and joy in the win than just your normal 1 of 82. I think it would be somewhere in between, you know, a regular season celebration and maybe a playoff game celebration in terms of just how they act about it. But no matter what happens, you got to put it aside tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is in the rear view.
Yep.
At about 4 o'clock today.
Right.
You put it in the rear view and you focus on the second half of the season, because this team really needs to get
stuff
back in
together,
gear.
Yeah,
get back in gear and start focusing on that playoff run.
He is Ryan Porth. I'm Chase McCabe here on Preds Extra. When we come back, Brian Boucher stopped by yesterday and talked to Darren McFarlane and yours truly. So you will hear from him next. Preds Extra brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Sutton Service, and Firestone on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, rinkside here at the Cotton Bowl for the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic. And look, I promise you, you're going to hear from Brian Boucher at some point. We want you to, but it seems things keep coming. You know, this is how these live shows work.
This is live radio, Chase.
We get, you know, guests that are scheduled, and they're going to join us. Pierre McGuire from NBC is making his way over here, so we're going to have him live and in person, because he'll be in between the benches for this event, and he has been for the last several years. So
that's not Pierre McGuire.
That is not him. So we hope to be joined by him at some point. Look, I'm not saying I was profiling, but maybe I was. Well, I saw a bald head and just
maybe assumed. You know what happens when you assume, Chase?
Well, you make a something out of you and me.
Yep.
And I've done that plenty of times in my career. So we're in a little bit of a four-corner stall, as they say.
Yeah.
And so waiting on Pierre McGuire. But we'll have we'll replay Brian Boucher here in a little bit as well. So what's something that maybe we haven't hit on here yet with this Winter Classic? We've heard everybody talk about the preparation, that it's, you know, pretty much the same, that you go through your normal game day routines, that warm-ups could be a little bit different because, you know, you're trying to find the puck and you don't have the fans right up against the glass, that it's a lot more spread out. But, you know, I think once they start this game and get through the first period, maybe the first 10 minutes of the game, it's going to feel like a normal hockey game to them.
Yeah, I think so. I think what we just discussed in terms of them blocking out the environment and everything, I think it's only going to be natural for both teams to get caught up in it in the first 5-10 minutes of the game and maybe look around a little bit. But once that happens, it is a hockey game. And,
yeah,
you know, they're usually with these games – The quality of play, as long as there's not a lot of weather or bad ice, the quality of play is usually what you would expect.
Yeah,
in an arena, as opposed to here being outdoors.
And as we said, I mean, looking at the ice, and there's Pierre walking over here, looking at the ice, I mean, it looks pristine. I mean, there are a couple of divots here and there, but I mean, it looks like it's going to be pretty good.
I last night compared it to what I remember in Pittsburgh when we had the opportunity to stand up close and look at it during practice, and the ice looks fantastic compared to what it looked like in Heinz Field. Now, in Pittsburgh, they had a little bit of warmer weather. They had a little bit of weather as well with some rain. So the ice conditions at Heinz Field were not very good at all. But it looks like the ice is going to be in good shape today. So we are now being joined by
Pierre McGuire.
Pierre McGuire of NBC Sports. Pierre?
No gloves for you guys.
I'm ready.
Chase has gloves on.
I don't have any gloves. Look, my fiance and her family members have gotten me a lot of gloves over the last year, and I did not even bring them to Dallas.
You know what, Ryan? Isn't this amazing?
This is
unbelievable. So, cool. So the venue's historic, the Cotton Bowl, obviously, but it's just the way it's being presented. It's awesome. And the fact that it's a rivalry, big game between Nashville, who's urgent for points, and Dallas, who is a division rival, and the hatred from last year's playoff, it's awesome. It's really good.
We said this earlier, that it feels like it's a celebration of Southern hockey. Yeah. It's always a celebration of hockey, this event, but with all the different things around this rink and you walk around, it feels like it's a celebration of hockey in different markets than what we've seen before in this Winter Classic.
I think that's really well said. The other thing, too, is both organizations deserve a lot of credit because they've built rinks in their communities. They've put in infrastructure to develop younger players coming through, and now you're seeing players in the NHL from Tennessee. You're seeing players in the NHL from Texas and Dallas in particular. 20 years ago, I was coaching in the league. That wasn't happening. Trust me, that wasn't happening. So a lot of credit goes to the Nashville Predator organization and the Dallas Stars organization. They've really committed to the sport, and it's helped make the sport better.
So this is Winter Classic number what for you?
I couldn't tell you, Chase. I've only missed two, and I'll tell you how I missed them. The one in Buffalo, between Buffalo and Pittsburgh, I was at the World Junior in Pardubice in the Czech Republic, and NBC couldn't fly me back and forth in time to make it to the quarterfinal games at the World Junior when I worked for TSN, so I missed that one. The second one I missed, believe it or not, was 2010, and USA and Canada played an overtime game at the World Junior in Saskatoon, and because it went to overtime and there was a hailstorm, all the cars got frozen in the parking lot outside their building in Saskatoon.
No.
So I couldn't make the flight out to get to Boston to do the Flyers in Boston. So the only two classics I missed were those two.
This has to be pretty cool for you. I mean, you do games from in between the benches all the time. But for this one and looking out into what this crowd is going to be, 80,000-plus, you know, packed into this place, that has to be a neat perspective.
Chase, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You know what's really cool about it is I worked in the big house, which was amazing, 108, 110,000, whatever it was. Pittsburgh, I remember doing – this is a really good story because it's similar, football stadium at Heinz Field. And Sidney Crosby and I had done so many things since he had turned pro, and we were skating off the ice after the first period, and I was doing an interview with him. And the crowd noise was so loud, we could feel the ice shaking underneath us. And he goes, we've done a lot of really cool things, but never had anything like that. I said, no, never anything like that. So it's really – football, I think of all the venues – the football stadium venue is the best for this game.
So you bring up the 2011 Winter Classic with the Pens and Caps. I was there covering it as a media member, and I remember it. You know, the weather forced it into prime time. That felt like the biggest hockey game ever between Ovechkin, Crosby, Caps, Pens, Heinz Field. You know, there were sections of red, sections of the gold or black or, you know, the blue Winter Classic jerseys that they had. It felt like a football game. And the Super Bowl with a regular season game.
That's well said, Ryan. I agree. I remember interviewing Franco Harris at one end of the field. And I'm sitting there going, wow, I'm doing a hockey game and I'm interviewing one of the greatest football players of all time. And he was so into it. It speaks to your point perfectly. He's like, this is amazing for Pittsburgh. This is amazing for hockey. I can't believe I'm here. Franco Harris is telling me this. I'm like, right. Wow, that's pretty cool. And then we did Jerome Bettis, and that was kind of prime time for Jerome in his career. And everybody's like, wow, Jerome Bettis is kind of shocked by this environment. It was really neat. It really was.
Absolutely. Well, not only is there going to be about 85, 90,000 people in this stadium, there could be close to 30,000 Predators fans traveling from Nashville.
So I will vouch for that. I will tell everybody listening back in the Nashville area and the Tennessee environs, at our hotel, most of the people that I saw were NBC. The rest of the people were all Predator people. It was amazing. And they were traveling proudly with their colors.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome to see. And I was like, wow, how did they – because this – the hotel we usually – and I won't give you the name of the hotel because we always stay there. The NBC crew always stays there. we never see any hockey fans there. You know, right. That's one of the reasons why we stay there. Usually the NHL referees stay in the same hotel as us. But there were no NHL referees there this time. But I would just tell you this. It was the colors, the pride of the people, the fans of the Predators was awesome to see. Yeah. Really, really good.
For sure. And to think back to where this franchise was just 12, 13 years ago, where they had to average 14,000 to keep the team for a season in 07-08, and now double that is coming to this one game 10 hours away.
I think the real standalone moment that helped build it was going to the Stanley Cup final. I think there was a huge belief in the community that after you got to the final, people said, this team's for real. And it's a style of play. You know, it's the offense from the defense. It's the wide-open attacking mode that Peter Laviolette and the staff have put in place. I think it's a drafting. I will say this, and I've known David Poile for a long time. Probably one of the best drafting teams in the National Hockey League are the Nashville Predators. They just get it.
Yeah.
And they draft him. And, you know, think about it. Shea Weber's in Montreal. Ryan Suter's in Minnesota. You start looking around.
Seth Jones.
Yeah, Seth Jones. You start looking around the league at all the different draft picks that are Nashville guys. It's pretty amazing. I mean, look at the – I'll use Ryan Hartnell as an example. Or Scotty Hartnell. Scotty Hartnell. Look at, I mean, he's a Nashville Predator guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you start looking around, and it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
Well, and Roman Josi, one of those guys, the captain of this team, too, and a Norris Trophy candidate, you know, as we get close to the halfway point. But he's carried the water for this team as of late.
Chase, he has, and I'm glad you brought his name up. He's not just a great hockey player and a captain. He's a phenomenal human being. You guys are around him. You couldn't find a better ambassador for your organization than Roman Josi, the way he carries himself. My time with him goes back to when he was a Swiss national player playing in the World Junior. And he was always a gentleman then, and he's still a gentleman to this day. And he's just an outstanding human being, really, really special.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you look at the Predators as a whole, and I'm curious of your thoughts. And we had you on with us in Nashville
and
about a month
that.
Or so
that
ago.
That was awesome. That was great.
This team is up and down. I mean, that's just the best way to describe them right now, is they've been up and down. I think the pieces are there. They're still very much in it in the standings, but it's just putting it together consistently. We can't figure out why they haven't really been able to do that.
I think that's a fair point. I mean, first of all, the power play's been inconsistent,
yep.
Which
mm-hmm.
it should be a lot better because of the firepower, and they fill out all the different boxes you need to fill out for power play presence. The goaltending should be better. Some nights it's great. Sometimes it's not. You guys know that. And then figuring out, where does Matt Duchene play? Is Matt Duchene a winger, or is Matt Duchene a center? I think today they're probably going to play him at center, it sounds like, anyway. So maybe that's where he fits the best, but we'll see. I just think there's still some incomplete business with the team, and that's why you're seeing the fluctuation from winning and losing.
You've been a coach in this league. You know that it's not easy to keep a locker room all together and to keep the message consistent. Peter Laviolette's been here 6 years now. Done this for a long time, won a Stanley Cup, but how does he keep it, especially with a group that has been together for a few years, a core group?
One of the most important things I learned early in my career was you have to delegate authority. The late Bob Johnson, who coined the phrase, it's a great day for hockey, he used to tell me all the time when I was a young guy working for him and Scotty Bowman, I'm going to delegate. We're going to delegate to you. We want you to have a firm voice so that our voice doesn't get old.
Yeah.
So when we tell you to do something, prepare like it's a final exam. Hmm. And I think if Peter does that with his assistants, his message will resonate and it'll be fresh. And he's probably done that. He's such an experienced coach. He's a good coach. I think the biggest thing, though, is you have to make sure your leadership understands your message and that they can sell it to the team. The best way a team can run is a player's police themselves. If it's over-policed by the coaching staff, that's when you get fractions in the room, and it's a problem.
How do you keep it fresh, though, when you have a core that's been together for so long?
Well, at some point, the general manager may have to shake the tree. And one of the best lines I ever heard took place December 23rd, 1991. I was running a practice in Pittsburgh, and Scotty Bowman was the head coach. And he called the team over, and he said, fellas, some of you are working hard, and some of you aren't. And he says, I can tell you this right now. We won the cup last year, and we're going to win the cup again this year. This is December 23rd, 1991. And he said, but he looks around at all the guys, and he says, some of you will be here, and some of you won't. Merry Christmas. And he walked away. And some of them were there, and some of them were not. And we ended up winning the cup. So he was Nostradamus. You know, I mean, it was just amazing. But that was one of the better stories. Yeah, Chris King, living legend in the National Hockey League. And he was one nasty boy, too, when he played. He's a tough guy.
So, yeah, and look, I think that's a great story because that's the truth. And it's hard sometimes when you've been together for so long and, you know, you're friends. And this group is so close. I mean, they're like a family. I was watching them yesterday. But I think that's the best way to put it. And Scotty Bowman, of course, one of the best, and was able to do that. And David Poyle has been no stranger to making those type of moves.
David is such an aggressive general manager, and I say that with respect. I love how he does his business because he understands the value of players around the league. He knew what he was doing when he traded Shea Weber to get P.K. Subban. He's not afraid. He knew what he was doing to get Matt Duchene. You know, like he understands Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones. Like, he understands what he's doing. The most amazing thing about the Seth Jones situation, I got to tell you guys this. I do the draft every year, and I'm saying Seth Jones got to be near the top of the draft. And you know what? He's probably got to be one or two. And then all of a sudden one goes, and it's Nathan MacKinnon, which I kind of understand.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't go at two, and I'm going, okay. Tampa has a pick at three or four. What's going to happen? And then Tampa takes Jonathan Drouin, and they don't take Seth Jones. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, what are they doing? They passed on Cam Fowler like 3 years before, and it just shows you how things could have been different.
Yeah.
So Nashville sees Seth Jones on the board. We're taking him right away. And that's what they did. It was so smart. But it just shows you how the draft plays out. And, you know, Seth Jones obviously has become an unbelievable player. And you think about how everything could change.
Yeah.
As Doc Emmerich passes us here here in the Cotton Bowl,
yeah.
ESPN 102.5 The Game, Pierre McGuire with us. Pecorine has been struggling of late. He's been pulled in four of his last 13 games, and I think a lot of us in Nashville are wondering, is this the age showing? Is there maybe a confidence thing going? What would be, if you were his coach, kind of your message to someone who has been such a rock for you for a decade as your number one goalie to try to keep him and keep him on track and get him back on track?
Ryan, one of the things that makes him so comfortable as a goalie is him moving his feet and going and playing pucks. And I think when he's doing that, he's a lot better as a goalie when he's engaged in the game. Teams have figured that out a little bit, so they're not making it as easy for him to go out and handle pucks. So I think that's a bit of an issue for him. So I try to get him back to handling pucks. The other thing is when you look at it, and you guys could see all the games. I watch most of them. People throw pucks from bad angles into his feet. They don't elevate the puck. They're looking for second chance opportunities because he doesn't track the puck. He's 6'6".
Right.
So they're throwing pucks from bad angles into his feet. So one of the things you have to do when that's happening is get the goalie more square to the shooter so that they're not coming in his feet, they're coming at his pads. And I think that's one of the things. I'm sure they're working on that. But when I see it, just the little structural breakdown there is that, you know, teams are kind of onto him, and now they're going to have to rejig a little bit of who he plays.
Here's Pierre McGuire from NBC. He'll be in between the benches today for their coverage. You guys get started at what time? 12 o'clock?
I'm working on Eastern time. So, yeah, I would say 12:59 or, yeah, something like that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be cool to see. This is our seat, so
we'll wave at you. I'll wave at you, and then
yeah.
When I skate off, I'll come over and high-five.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, Pete Weber and Hal Gill will be doing the call of the game from right here.
I don't know
how
Hal will be able to do that. He might be taller than the glass.
he might be getting into the way of the NBC cameras today.
He might. Man, oh, man.
But we appreciate it, as always. It's good to see
Chase,
you, and it should be a lot of fun.
Really
Happy
nice
New talking. Year.
Thanks for having me. Rye, really good seeing you. Take
Thanks,
care.
Pierre.
Enjoy the game, everybody.
Absolutely. Pierre McGuire, NBC, the best. When we come back, you'll hear from his colleague Brian Boucher, who was with us yesterday. We'll do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yes, welcome back to the Road to Dallas here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You just got done listening to Kevin Weeks stop by the DDC desk to talk to Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe. And now we're going to give you a little bit of what Brian Boucher from NBC Sportsnet had to say regarding the Preds and the Stars. Here is how that conversation sounded.
Coverage rolling right along here at the Winter Classic, the Cotton Bowl, live here in Dallas. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe here ringside. We have had a loaded show, and that continues with Brian Boucher, NBC Sports. Of course, he will be behind the goalies tomorrow, behind the net, not in between the benches like he is a lot, but the coverage will be Pierre, Brian. We had Doc Emmerich on earlier, and so it's going to be a fun, fun day. And, of course, you can listen to it here starting. I'll have pregame for you at noon. We'll have a special hour before that. Should have Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, stop by. But, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Great to be on with you guys once again.
Well, it is our first Winter Classic, so we're really excited and sitting here at this gigantic football stadium and know that tomorrow it'll be filled up with crazy rowdy fans to watch a hockey game is pretty cool.
Yeah. These events, I got to play in one as a player. Well, I backed up. I didn't play. But don't let the details get in the way of a good story. It just amazes me. Every year, you know, you come to a new venue, and they can kind of transform it into a hockey arena. And when you get down by the ice level, it feels like a normal rink. And the way it presents itself on TV, it looks fantastic. The fans support it. It truly is a great celebration of the game to be playing outdoors, which a lot of these guys did do growing up. I know the game is growing in the southern markets, and maybe there's less and less of the outdoor hockey, but for a lot of these guys, they grew up playing outside.
You wouldn't understand this because you played it, so yes, of course you understand it. But I always have said, Brian, that fans, not just in hockey, but the two sports that I really think of are hockey and football. I've always said, man, if you could ever watch a game right here where we are, mm-hmm. right here on the glass, or in football down on the field, because you'll walk away with a totally different perspective and appreciation for how incredible these athletes are.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak specifically to hockey, just you know, because it's a sport that I know, and you know, I don't want to say I'm an expert, but you know, I had my whole life in it. I mean, to the casual fan on TV, I understand it can be a tough watch, maybe a tough game to understand if you don't know the rules. But when you go to a game live and you get, you know, as close as you can to the ice surface and you see how tremendous these athletes are, how fast they are, how quick they can think, and then you can actually see the puck live, you know, which certainly helps. I don't think you need to even understand, you know, the rules inside the game. You can understand, hey, the concept is we got to get inside the other goal and watch guys make plays, and everybody understands the concept, whether it's basketball or football or whatever sport you may play, or soccer, that you got to move the puck, or you got to move the ball. And in hockey, and you see guys make plays, and you can start to appreciate their skill when you're here watching it live. And it's only getting faster, and it's only getting more skilled. These kids that are coming up now, they're so talented. This game's in a really good spot.
Yeah, no doubt. I wanted to ask you about the position you played, because I feel like, I don't want to say a changing of the guard, I think it's just a different mentality. And we've probably, I hate to keep using the football references, but for a long time, back when you played on the football side, there in goalies, right, you had kind of that workhorse goalie, the guy that would play predominantly, I don't know, 60, 65 games a year is the number one goalie. And in football, that running back would get the ball 30 times in a game. And you don't see that anymore, right?
Yeah.
It's about, you know, sharing the workload. Well, now we're starting to see goalies share the workload.
Yeah.
And now coaches are not afraid to just go back and forth and just, or in some cases, just ride the hot hand or just keep going back and forth.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I love it. And I was a guy that struggled at being a number one in the league. For a large chunk of my career, I think I just couldn't handle that 65-game workload. And it was more not physical, it was mental. You know, to know that night after night you had to come up with an A performance. You know, that was the hardest part. And this was in a time when the parity in the league wasn't like it is today. So now you fast forward to today, we got 31 teams in the league. We'll have 32 when Seattle comes in. But Vegas was an expansion club that made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they were a very talented, skilled, fast team. When I came into the league in 99, Nashville had been an expansion team. Columbus was an expansion team. The Atlanta Thrashers were an expansion team. We could have gone into those games with half our lineup playing and on most nights win those games.
Right.
Not the case anymore. There are no layups in the National Hockey League. So for a goaltender, you think about that, the pressure's on every single night to give a quality start, you know, where you can be one of the top three stars every single night to give your team a chance to win. That's a lot of pressure. I feel like the no red line now is led to offense being created more easily. I think the scoring chances are up night after night. You know, it's not uncommon to see 25 scoring chances against a particular goaltender on a night. And you do that for 10 straight games, that's going to wear on you mentally. And not only physically, I mean, you start going, having to go east-west, and, you know, make those saves. It's taxing. So you need two guys, and I think you got to believe in both guys. You got to give the mental rest to the starter, whoever you're going to primarily go to in the playoffs. But you also have to have the confidence in the second guy that if you need to turn to him in a crucial time in a playoff series, that it's not just a, you know, you're not just hoping for a prayer here. You know that this guy can give you a quality start.
So sticking with the goalie conversation, when you look at the Nashville Predators and Pekka-Rinne, UC Saros, they've split some time this year, and both have struggled at times. Both mm-hmm. have had some bright spots and some big games, but that's something that we're not used to talking about in this market because the Predators have been spoiled with pretty good goaltending over the years.
Yeah, and, you know, I always want to be the guy that sort of defends the goaltenders to a certain degree. But I'm also a realistic guy, too. If you talk to UC Saros or Pekka-Rinne, I'm sure they would tell you that there's some saves that they can make in there, you know, that they can be better, timely saves that they can come up with. Every goaltender will hold themselves accountable that way. But, you know, just in the last two games in particular, if you watch those games, I mean, the chances that were in front of Rinne and Saros in those games, I mean, the players, in some cases, they were there. And yet they didn't have anybody. Like it was just a little too loose. You know what I mean? And you give up those chances, and yeah, they're going to go in once in a while. And I think for the Preds, I think they got to tighten up defensively. Number one, allow their goaltenders to kind of regain their confidence a little bit. Because you start looking at your save percentage and have it at 890, 894. I don't care who you are. You look at those numbers, and you're going to come to the rink feeling bad about yourself. Yep. So they've got to start to look at it in a small picture, maybe a 4 or 5 game segment, feel good about a good 4 or 5 game segment, defend better, let them get their confidence, and then the new year, hope that the tides turn and you're looking at the stats before January 1 and then the stats after January 1, and hopefully it's a lot better for the Preds.
The one thing that always stood out to me with Rinne early in his career is he had to play consistently. He mm-hmm. he couldn't have a couple starts here and then take a game off. When he did, he struggled. And as he's gotten older, he's had to, I guess, kind of go back to, maybe not playing as many starts in a row. Yeah. How difficult is it as a goaltender to adjust to that when you're so used to just being the workhorse?
Yeah, and that can be tough for a starting goaltender because they're so used to, not practicing as hard as maybe the backup does. They can get off the ice earlier. They can manage their workload and practice. They get into a groove with their game day routine. But you start going 4 or 5 days in between starts consistently or even longer than that sometimes, that's hard for a starting guy who's used to being in a groove like that. Now you got to practice differently. You got to get some work in and practice that maybe you otherwise weren't doing. And also the game prior kind of hangs with you a little bit longer. When you know you're going out the next day, you kind of like, okay, here's another day, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to shake that last one off. Those, as a backup, those starts that you give up, 5 goals and you got to sit for the next 2 weeks, those are the starts that stick with you, and that's the tough part for a backup to get over. And for starters, they've not really had to do that. So they got to kind of rewire their brains to understand that they're not going to get back out there tomorrow. And it might take a week before they get in the net again. So that can be a difficult thing. But I think that's why now getting the other guy in there, it's beneficial. It's not like you're asking the starter to sit 3 weeks. But sitting, 5 days can be good in the long run for the body and the mind.
You played for Peter Laviolette in Philadelphia, so you've been in those locker rooms with him. You know what he is about. You look at the Predators right now and the ups and the downs that they've had this season, the inconsistencies. It's been here 6 years now. What do you see from him? How do you see him adjusting? Because he's had to be in these situations before, but to help pull them out of this, starting with the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think every coach runs into the situation where maybe their message is getting a little stale from time to time. The one thing I will say about Peter Laviolette is he's constantly thinking about ways to motivate his players and find ways to, short term, think about a goal or, something that can motivate the group that gets them stop thinking about maybe what is plaguing them and maybe think about something that can motivate you to get you through a tough time. So from that, I know that he's probably going back to the drawing board and thinking of ways to do that right now. But this happens with every coach. I think that you run into a situation, you've had pretty much a lot of the same players here for a long time, and you're in a situation where, you need to – you need to get through some tough days during the season. This is not the fun time of the year, truthfully. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like January, February, these are tough months in the NHL schedule. And even you can put Christmas time in there, too, because there's a lot of distractions. I believe in this team. When I look at their roster, I mean, I feel like I still think they've got one of the best back ends in the National Hockey League. Do their goaltenders need to be better? Sure. They can be better. I think there's better hockey to be played near, and I don't think they're going to get any worse. So I think that's something to be positive about. I think they need to tighten up a little bit defensively, get back to, you know, protecting, you know, their zone first and foremost. And then from there, the offense can come. I think they've got the offensive players to do it. They've had to deal with, you know, the injury to Arvidsson. You know, that certainly, you know, was time away from a guy that can be a glue-type player. Sissons will be out now for a little bit. But I still think this is a team that, even with the additions that they do have in Duchesne, guys like Johansson can pick up their game. Turris can pick up their game. There's guys that can elevate. But I think on the back end, they still got one of the best back ends in the league. I still think their goaltenders are going to play well for them in the second half. And when you have that, that's more than a lot of teams have. So Laviolette will get back to the drum bar, get these guys going. I just think they're in a bit of a tough part of the schedule, tough part of the year, where they just got to get through it. I mean, if they get through on the other side, I think we're going to see some better hockey from them in the second half.
Last thing, you said you went through this as a player. What is it like? Because this is not just any old game.
This is
the Winter Classic. You are the only game in the National Hockey League. You're kicking off a new calendar year. And in this case, it'll be in front of 85, 90,000 and millions of people at home. So what's it going to be like tomorrow, let's say an hour from puck drop or right before puck drop?
I think the biggest thing to me is just the distractions that are involved with it. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, you know, will the Predators practice today? I mean, that's the one thing I'm curious to see if they're going to get out here and skate. Is the first time they're going to get on this ice surface for warm-up tomorrow? That's a little bit different. But it's just managing, you know, it's kind of like a spectacle, you know? It feels like the Stanley Cup final in that sense. You get more media attention. There's a lot of things pulling at you from the off-ice side of it. Maybe you got family here and tickets, and that can be distracting. Once the game starts, they'll be fine because they're in their normal environment. It's just the stuff leading up to it. It's not the normal game day or day before a game for these guys, and they just have to manage that and make sure, hey, look, we're not getting distracted by, you know, family coming in or anything like that, and just when the puck drops, be ready to play, and then it'll all be normal. But if you get caught up in all the other stuff, you know, and you get distracted and maybe you're not ready to play come 1 o'clock tomorrow, that's where you can fall behind and maybe you don't have the 60 minutes to catch up.
Good to see you as always.
Yeah,
happy New Year.
Yeah,
enjoy the
too.
Game tomorrow.
All right, thanks guys.
Brian Boucher, NBC Sports, he'll be here tomorrow, part of their coverage around the Winter Classic, Predators and Stars.
Welcome back in. This is Preds Extra, ESPN 102.5, the game streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth here live at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. Fans are starting to stream into the Cotton Bowl. A lot of people already coming in. There were a lot of people when Chase McCabe and I got here at about 8:15, 8:30 to get in to start setup. There were already a good handful of fans sitting outside the stadium waiting to get in, and that was, what, 2.5 hours ago? So here in Dallas, it's high 40s, low 50s right now, and people waiting outside to get in and get their steak on their seats here. Seeing a lot of Preds gold already, a lot of Preds Winter Classic jerseys. Over here behind the NBC broadcast, we've got Ryan Johansson, Matthias Ekholm, and Nick Bonino playing a little bit of pregame soccer as the soccer ball goes into the fake snow that the NHL has put together here. Just a really cool environment here in Dallas, Texas. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick will have Smashville Live coming up at 11, and it's going to be a really cool hour that you'll want to be tuned into. At 11 o'clock, Pete Weber, who will be on the call at 11, will join Darren and Willie to discuss the view that he's going to have to call a game, which is unlike anything that he's experienced in a long, long time, calling a game ringside on the glass alongside the one and only Hal Gill. So that's at 11. 11:15, John Miller of NBC Sports. He is the president of programming for NBC Sports, and he's going to tell the story of how he came up with the Winter Classic idea and how it's become such a big event, not only in the NHL but in sports as a whole. And then at 11:30, scheduled to be joined by NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman here ringside in Dallas, Texas. And I got to tell you, this is one of the coolest things that that this franchise will ever be a part of, even if they host one of their own outdoor games. Doing this at the Cotton Bowl, there's nothing like the first time of being a part of an event like this. Cotton Bowl, going to be 80, 90,000 people here. Already fans getting into the upper deck. A lot of Preds and Stars fans already here in the lower bowl. And it's going to be a special event. Again, Smashville Live coming up at 11 o'clock. Official pregame coverage at noon. And then network start time on the Fifth Third Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network will start at 12:50. And then puck drop scheduled to be 1:05 here in Dallas. That will do it for Preds Extra. We appreciate you listening to this special bonus coverage live here on New Year's Day. Happy New Year, everybody. This is Preds Extra, all of our coverage here in Dallas, brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service. Coming up next, it is Smashville Live, live from the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. You are listening to your home of Smashville, ESPN 102.5, The Game.